Dagens vinnarprognos från Postkodlotteriet. Postnummer 65209, klart till halvklart och chans till vinst. 41101, avtagande dimma med vinstmöjlighet i sikte. Övriga 10 500 postnummer, soligt och möjlighet att vinna.
Oavsett när sommaren kommer till dig så kan du och dina grannar få dela på 48 miljoner i sommaryran. Ta chansen nu i maj på postkodlotteriet.se.
Åldersgräns 18 år. Kontakta stödlinjen om du eller någon anhörig spelar för mycket.
Mycket snack om det här inhoppet. Det är svårt att förbereda sig. Va? Så att, det är mycket känslor som ställer över.
När jag kommer hem ska vi fixa allt det där.
Välkomna tillbaka till MFF-podden. Det här är avsnitt nummer 179. Jag heter Fredrik Hedenskog och jag har sällskap av Max Wiman och Fouad Bachirou. A warm welcome.
Thank you, thank you.
How are you feeling?
Great. After the 3 points, you can only feel great, I guess.
Yeah, you're, as I imagine most of our listeners know, you're fresh off a 4-1 victory over Hammarby. How would you describe the feelings and the state of the team right now?
Good. I think we're in a good momentum. You know, we come back from obviously 3 victories in a row. We've been calm all the way from the start of the season. Obviously, we know it was not the ideal start, but. We knew we had to come through this. I think it was good to get everyone together and to get going again. But now we're in a good place. We're taking game after game and happy to win the last 3 games we did. So now we move on to Sunday.
And good for the confidence, I guess, to score some goals as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think we went to a period where we're not scoring, we're creating chances and didn't take our chances and score goals. When you look back at the Heiken or Sundsvall game, we had chances and didn't manage to finish the game and win the game. Yesterday was completely different. We managed to put mostly every chances we had. And that is obviously part of the game. You need time a little bit to be clinical again, and hopefully it can keep going again.
If we stay on that game against Hammarby, I had a feeling that was a little bit two different teams, that you were more direct in the second half in your attacking.
I didn't feel that way. I felt like we had some good momentum in the first half. And then, obviously, we conceded that goal on that moment. I think on the ball, we did okay. Obviously, it was Hammarby still a good team who tried to block us. Without the ball, we didn't defend as well, I would say, in the first half. We took us a little bit of time to understand how to defend. But then, like, of course, you know, you get to know the opponent a little bit more in the second half. The game started to be a bit more open. And obviously, we were losing 1-0, so we got fired a little bit more, I would say. But the approach, I think, was the same. I think it was some good stuff in the first half also.
Yeah, I think the first 10 minutes were really good.
Yeah, exactly.
Then maybe you lost a little bit.
Did you talk about any specific changes during halftime?
Yeah, mostly how to defend, to get on the ball. But also really to keep going, because there was some good stuff, like we said. Just to believe a little bit more. But that's all really, just like try to be keep going, being positive, to attack wide, because that's where they were a little bit weak. And then just correct a few things defensively.
You mentioned it, the start of the season here. Was it tougher than you thought to have the Chelsea games and then start all over again?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah, I think like physically and mentally, the Chelsea game, when obviously you prepare yourself for such a big game, a high game, and then when it finished, you felt like the adrenaline, the energy, kind of went down, and it was a little bit hard to bounce back onto this. Obviously, and then you had the cup games. We didn't well as we wanted. And then obviously the start of the season, the first game. But we knew it would take a little bit of time. You know, we were not worried really. Obviously, we just had to believe in ourselves and keep going. And obviously, it's Malmo FF, so if you don't win the first game, straight away they're like...
Christ.
Yeah, crisis everywhere apart from the club, because there was no crisis from us. You know, we expected that. You know, it's the first game, you're Malmo FF. People want to beat you, so people are like ready for fight for every game. And we had a chance to win the game, we didn't took it. But apart from this, was not crisis really.
Well, looking back now, does it surprise you that the Chelsea matches took that much energy?
Personally, yeah, I would say, yeah. Kind of like I would at some. I was thinking probably from this you would get like a bit more fired up and carry on to the season on the same level. But we need to understand and realize as well, like, obviously, in a short period of time before the Chelsea game, you do a lot physically to catch up, to be ready for that game. So at some point, obviously, that peak have to go down. And that's what obviously you need to understand when you play at a high level. Obviously, unfortunately, that peak came really right at the start of for the like first game and second, because we didn't feel as much energetic and etc. But hopefully, that is passed now, and then for the rest of the season, obviously, we'll be ready.
Do you feel like that you're back on track?
Yeah, I think I didn't feel like we left the track, but I think we we're progressing basically. You know, I feel like we're getting better in shape as expected, because it's still early in the season. I think we are tactically also getting better, back to a basic, defending well, because I think at some point we conceded a lot of goals. Now we concede, obviously, on the last three games, less and much better, back to what we are good at last year. So I think we're on a good moment, yeah.
I don't know if I'm wrong, but I have a feeling that you've changed the system in the inner midfield a little bit. AC is playing, Anders Christiansen is playing deeper, maybe, than he did last season. Am I right?
Certain game he had to come a little deeper, because obviously we had to adapt. Obviously now we play against team who knows well, who know how we play. They try to find a way of stopping us, obviously us in midfield. So we have to find some ways to still try to get on the ball. So maybe for AC, sometimes you have to come a little bit deeper to get on the ball, but still try to be in that space a little bit higher up sometimes, like he did a lot in the second half, was like really good. So we're just a mix. Obviously, he's trying to combine both, try to help me as well to build up from the back as well. So,
in some of the games now, they have always most been playing man to man against you. Is that a new experience, or have you experienced that before?
Well, I couldn't see it coming at the end of last year. A few teams did it, and obviously expected now more and more. We've basically on every game now it's been that way. It's something you need to adapt. Something is a new new experience here for me. So I need to find a way.
Is it tougher?
Yeah, it is. It is, but
frustrating maybe, right?
Personally, yeah, it could be. But as long as we're winning, we'll be fine. Because obviously, if they decide to man mark on me, then they space somewhere else. And that's been the case, you know, against Östersund and against Hammarby as well a little bit yesterday when they start to markman me. Then there's more space maybe for AC to get on the ball, for whoever play on the other side, Arnold or Romain or Erdal. to get a little bit more on the ball as well. It frees the space as well for Makan when he played to come down a little bit. So all kind of different solution. We just need to adapt as a team.
We'll get back to the present a little later here, but I wanted to first go back and talk a bit about your background, because in this day of technology and information, there's still not a lot of information about you on the internet, really.
Okay. So that may be a good thing.
Yeah, probably. But can you tell us about, for example, when did you start playing football?
I started playing football, obviously, with a license in a club when I was 8, and a place called Clichy, so that's a place in Paris where I grew up. It's pretty much late for young kids, because everyone, all my friends, obviously started from age of 5. I was playing football, but not licensed. I would just go as soon as I finished school, go and play. Because obviously at the time, couldn't really afford to pay for a license and to play football. I get the chance through a friend at 8 to take me. They took me for free first because I couldn't still afford. And my friend, obviously, everyone was playing, so was with my group of friends. So I started at 8. I've been there until my 14, 15. And then I moved to Paris Saint-Germain, and I did my youth there until I was 19, 20. And I moved to Scotland.
Yeah, that's maybe the most funny part, when you played in a small club in Scotland.
Yeah, it was a different experience. It was really tough at the start, because I went to a new country. I didn't speak the language. I didn't speak any English at the time. Was a different culture, totally different approach for football than what I've been used to. So it was like a big challenge, but at the same time was like great, because I was like 19, 20, and I get to play a lot of games. I was like starting most of the game and playing, and I have a confidence of a coach, a club. So for a young age to play a lot of games, that was good. I could only learn from this. So on that part was really good. I enjoyed that.
You moved from Paris to Greenock.
Yeah, I was.
Did you live
in Glasgow?
Greenock? You lived in Glasgow. Yeah, because Greenock is a small town.
It's a really small town. Yeah.
But still, like you said, the style of football was different. You played at that time in third tier, the Scottish Second. First Division, or was it League Championship? Scottish Championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's still, like you say, it's different football.
Yeah, totally, yeah. It was like, obviously, the more direct football. I'm a small guy in midfield who likes to have the ball on his feet. Scottish football is more big football with a long ball direct straight to the striker, with the channel ball, like they call it. So at the start was really tough, because like, I remember my first games... a friend came to watch me, so we played friendly game, and I was hardly touching the ball really. And I told my friend, "Okay, come watch a game." The first competition game was a cup, and he timed on his watch like when was my first touch really, you know, without me winning the ball or like actually pass, and that was after 23 minutes. So that was like. Like when you start like this, you knew like I was like, that's going to be a tough year, really. But I guess it's like this when you come also to a new club. You need to gain the trust of your teammate. So I think like maybe at the start, we were like not sure, you know, because obviously the pressure in the midfield. So they didn't want to take any risk, really, defender. So they had to make sure I could handle the ball really first before giving me instead of that long ball. But then... slowly, I get them used to give me the ball a little bit more, and me also to learn to play as well without the ball, because that was like a big part of my game when I needed to learn as well, because I was used to in Paris Saint-Germain, when you play for Paris Saint-Germain, you're most likely to win, is you're most likely to have a lot of the ball. So that was like different there.
Sorry.
Before we completely leave France here, everybody hasn't heard about your background. You are from the Comores, Comorona in Swedish.
I'm born in France.
Yeah, but
my mother is from Comorona in Swedish. So she grew up there and left for a better life to France. Then I'm born obviously in 90, so a year after she arrived to France. And obviously I grew up there all the time.
And you had quite a tough time. It was a tough time for your mother from the beginning.
Yeah, when at the start was a tough time, yeah. For her it was a tough time. She tried everything obviously to give me and my brother the best we could. But it was tough for her. Not so much for us, because you don't know.
No.
You know, you don't know what you're missing when you don't have it. I never had it, so I was like, for me, I was just a normal kid like others who were just enjoying playing football or playing with his brother and his friends. She did a good job to raise me and my brothers and sisters.
I'm thinking, can it be a help in a career when you have... when you don't have everything from the beginning, and also when you come to Scotland and you don't have everything from the beginning, it's a...
It could help. I had both. I had pretty much not everything at the beginning. Then I went to Paris Saint-Germain. I had everything. Because you really well look after. And then you go to Scotland and you go back to... look after yourself on your own, being on your own. Well, in Paris Saint-Germain, they help you with basically everything. You would never be in need or anything. And then in Scotland, it become also my professional contract, so you have to look after yourself. Small thing like looking for an apartment, etc., paying like, you know, your own bill, etc., without like the club helping you for anything. I had a bit of both, and I think that helped me. Of course, like me, I'm grateful for the way I grew up. I think it helped me a lot, you know, to keep me hungry, to fix me a good line, obviously, of living, of appreciate stuff you have. I don't think you could never say which one is the best, but I'm grateful for what I had, obviously, the way I grew up. And I think that helped me to take me where I am today.
But the move to Scotland, why did you decide to go there? I mean, I suppose that you could have stayed and played in France as well.
Yeah, I could. At the time, I didn't want to stay in France. I wanted to leave France to see a different culture, to experience something else. I wasn't totally pleased with everything was around football in France, the mentality in France at the time. I felt like it was tough when you're a footballer in France at the time. You were like really, people were really envious. They were not really the image of footballer didn't have a good look in France, so I wanted to go somewhere with like a little bit more passion into football, see something else, just leave something, a different culture. At the time, I was supposed to... obviously, Scotland was not my priority. I always been a fan of like the Serie A and obviously AC Milan. And at the time, I had the opportunity to go to Siena. I was supposed to sign for Siena. So I went to visit the installation and everything, but the transfer fell through as the coach and the chairman resigned. So a new board came in, and obviously they didn't know me. So my transfer, when I was supposed to go and sign, my transfer fell through, obviously a day before I was supposed to go sign. So that was a really big blow for me. And then, like, Scotland came through my agent. At the time, we had really good contact in Scotland, through different agent and club, so give me the opportunity to go and do the pre-season while we're still looking for something. So I went and did the preseason there. And after 3 weeks of preseason, obviously after 2 weeks, they offered me a contract. I was obviously still not my priority. Then after 3 weeks, well, I decided, I said, like, well, you know what, why not? You know, it can, they really want you, you're young, you've got guaranteed to play. The British football, you something you need to learn as well, I think, to add to your game. So I decided to sign and see where that take me from there.
And when you got there must have been something that appealed to you because you stayed quite a long time.
Obviously, yeah, the fan was great to me, to be honest. The club really appreciate what I done there. And also, I got injured in the first year. I pulled my hamstring quite badly. So I was out for a good 3-4 months. So after that, you couldn't pretend really to move to something better. So obviously, I decided to stay, to play more, obviously, to show yourself. Then I did. Then the year after, I had opportunity to leave, but was obviously to another club who was on the same division. Nothing else really concrete, great. I nearly left. At the time, the manager was Billy Reid, who was the assistant manager of Östersund recently. Now he's in Swansea. He tried to sign me a few times, and I always been tempted, but I decided to stay on the club where I was because I knew the people there. I felt comfortable. The fans were really pleased with me. So then I signed with another 2 years. So that make me stay there for a good 3-4 years over there.
By the way, Max, do you know who's the manager of Greenock Morton now?
No.
Jonathan Johansson.
Ah, okay.
Jonathan Johansson.
Former Malmö player, yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did play for Malmö.
He played for Malmö, yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
two and a half seasons,
yeah.
I think.
He scored some goals here.
Yeah. I know him, actually.
But the Billy Reid connection, that's what brought you to Sweden.
Exactly. So Billy Reid, like I said, tried to sign me. He was at Hamilton at the time, so tried to sign me probably 2-3 times. Then he moved to Östersund. He tried to sign me in the winter of 2014. So we're still in the season with Greenock Morton. My club didn't let me go at the time. And then at the end of the season, basically, Östersund bought me from Greenock Morton. Because obviously he phoned me and told me, like, obviously he wanted me. They have a really good project. They were in Superettan at the time. And they would be really interested and it would be something good for me. So I end up watching one of the game. And I liked the way they were playing football. I had a player with me in Greenock Morton who played for Östersund as well. A few years before, who told me a good thing about the club. So then I let myself tempted as well. Obviously, Billy Reid had a big part. I spoke as well with Graham Potter a little bit at the time as well, so they managed to convince me.
But I can really see that Östersund was playing this way, style of football that suits you.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, Östersund as a northern winter city. Wasn't it?
If you had gone there in the winter of 2014, would you have signed?
That would be probably a different outcome. No, but to be honest, at the time I really wanted out of Scotland and Greenock. So obviously when the opportunity came, I had like only good words about Sweden, the league in general and the country. But then I didn't know, and to be honest, I didn't even pay attention where I was, Östersund or where. For me, Sweden, I just seen north. So everything is north. For me, everything was the same at the time. That's the way I was thinking.
Yeah.
So I didn't really pay attention. For me, everywhere was cold. You know, I didn't think about like expecting to be warm. I didn't imagine it would be such a difference between Östersund and Stockholm and Malmö, for example. I didn't think that. And what happened is, like, obviously I signed in Östersund in August. So I remember the day I arrived was 28 degrees.
Okay, that's nice.
So I think I got fooled there. Because, like, obviously the summer after was not the same.
Do you remember what you were thinking when the winter came?
I was like, yeah, I was in shock, to be honest. I was thinking how I'm going to manage to play football here. Really, it was that was tough. But it was a special club as well. It was such a good way of enjoying football. So they managed to make you forget about the weather outside, I would say.
What are your feelings now when there is a lot of talking, what's happening up in the club and with their leader, Kindberg? And I believe you had some disagreement with him about money as well.
Yeah, we have some disagreement. But personally, what I think it's a shame, really, for the club, because I think the fans, the players, the people who work at the club have done so well for many years, and now one of the things when you speak about Östersund FK is that case, you know, yeah. The affiliate too. So I feel that is really a shame for all them people who work so well to take the club where it is today, to make it as good as they are today. So now that's how I feel really about it. Like, I think it's a shame. Obviously, they're doing well. It's a good football club who deserve everything they have now. Because obviously it was a process for many years. And so yeah, now it's a shame, I think, for the people who work there, actually.
Played for Östersund. I've lost my notes now. How long? How many seasons did you play?
So from June 2014 till obviously 17.
Yeah, two and a half. Yeah,
yeah.
Three, 4 years.
So then there was obviously the move to Malmö. Can you tell us a bit how that came about?
How that came about? Well, Malmö, obviously, I was, again, we just out of finished Europa League with Östersund, and I felt it was like a time for a new challenge for me. And Malmö showed their interest in I think was early November. So as soon as the finish started, I was still in Europa League, and at the time, I was not even thinking really, because obviously I was still playing with Östersund and still have some big games to play in Europa League. And then when it came to December, I went on holiday and I felt like, okay, it was time. So I speak with my family and my agent, who obviously had contact with Malmö, and they showed me their interest. And I had also big interest with MLS team, who was Montreal at the time. So I went on holiday and I had to make the decision basically between Montreal and Malmö. Montreal was the time was, because I think he just left now, Rémy Garde, French guy, the coach. He was coach of Lyon recently, Aston Villa also. So well-known coach. So he phoned me. He came meet me when I was on holiday, because I actually spent my holiday that time in December in America. So he came see me. I met him and told me, like, obviously he really wanted me. They really like offered me the best they could. It was like nice. At the same time, I was speaking, my agent was speaking with Malmö, with Malmö FF, and they show their interest, obviously, since November. And obviously, know how big Malmö is. And for me, I had to make a decision, so I spoke with my family, and I felt like I still wanted to be in Europe. you know, I just had the taste of that Europa League, of that European nights, and so I felt like I still wanted to play them games. At the time, we were still obviously Malmo were going to play the Champions League, so that was a challenge. And obviously, again, Malmo is a big best club here in Sweden as well, so I felt like it can only be a progression for me.
I assume that the money must be better in the MLS.
At the time, yeah, the offer they offered me, yeah,
it was. It was better, yeah. But you still wanted. Was it also that when you chose Malmö, there was a bigger opportunity to come out to other clubs in Europe, if you play in MLS?
Yeah. Of course, yeah. That's somewhere in your mind, but it's just depend on you, really. How good can you be? Because I guess if a player is really, really good in MLS, he still have a chance to come back to Europe. Now, I know a few years ago, that wouldn't really happen. But now, them day, you still see that happening. Obviously, players who are doing really well in MLS and can manage to come back in Europe. But I just felt like Malmo was the best project for me at this moment, really. Like I said, they show their interest. I knew it was a big club playing against, like big fans, you know, and that's why you play football, you know, for them big atmospheres, for a European night, for fighting for title. And that's what Malmo provide you, you know, that's what Malmo can offer to you. So that's why.
Was it never a discussion? Because you obviously Östersund has advanced to meet Arsenal in the EuroLeague that year. Mm. Was it never a discussion that you should play those games and then come to Malmö?
No, because obviously that was another decision to make. Obviously, not playing that game, Arsenal game, was a big decision. Like I had to make painful well. You know, but I really felt that time it was time for me to move on. I think I needed that personally. I needed that challenge. You know, I needed to see something else. But no, that never came into mind. Obviously, to play that game and then, because obviously that's not the way is where I want to work, and I don't think Malmo would have wanted that either, you know, because you still have a season to prepare. You want to be fully committed to your club. And the same for, like, Östersund as well. I think, like, you wouldn't want to have a player January, February, like, obviously all the start, and then leave, you know, while you're preparing the season. So I think for the clubs, both clubs and myself,
was the best decision.
Yeah.
When you came to Malmö, you had the team had.
Hej, Synoptik här. Visste du att solens UV-strålar kan vara skadliga och åldra dina ögon i förtid? Kom in till oss så hjälper vi dig att hitta rätt solglasögon som skyddar dina ögon. Välkommen till Synoptik.
Dåliga vibrationer är att skära av sig tummen i köket.
Ja!
Bra vibrationer är att du har en tumme till och kan scrolla vidare. Få bra vibrationer med Vimla. Mobiloperatören med Sveriges nöjdaste kunder enligt SKI.
I had a really good start to the pre-season and the cup. And then once Allsvenskan started, it all started to slip a bit.
And you were
results-wise, anyway, and you were injured as well.
Yeah.
But can you tell us about the state of the team at that time? I mean, how do you deal with that sort of stuff when the results don't really reflect what you know that you can do?
Hard situation, I would say, because obviously, like you said, we started so well in the Swedish Cup. Managed to get to the final. First game win away to Elfsborg, and then home game to AEK. Still think we did well. Not so well the first half, was like still like nervous game, I would say, for both team. But then we get one man sent off, and play better as an IOK. So at that point, you still felt like it was quite a good, pretty much a good start of the season. Then we go away to Sundsvall, I think. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, we go away to Sundsvall. After 20 minutes, we've got a chance to score 2-0, I think. We missed. Obviously, I got injured straight after as well. Really a tricky game, because obviously we're back onto the game, and then we lost obviously the 3 points on the last few minutes. Then from there, like, felt like we lost a little bit of of balance, start to be a little bit nervous on some game, and then from there was like hard, I think, because also we had, I think, 5 or 6 new players who was pretty much on a new starting lineup. You have players who just come back from back-to-back wins of a title. So to combine both, feel like when the players who've been there win, you know, is the hardest thing for me in football, is to when you win, to motivate yourself again after. I think that is the most hardest thing in football, and you see it at the highest level. And I felt like that was what was missing a little bit at the start for us, for the one who've been winning, and for us, the one who just was new, to adapt a little bit. Obviously, you don't have time in Malmo, but to adapt a little bit quicker. So the mix of both, that's what brings that bad start, I would say. You know, when it got tougher, when we didn't win, we didn't have anything to grab and to get back up, you know. We felt like we were under the water, and it was really tough to get back up and fight for it, really. It took, obviously, a little bit while. At the same time, we still felt like, obviously, we'd turn around, you know. We just needed to keep working and everything, and obviously the break, we needed that break, I think. We knew after the break things would be changing a little bit. But it was a difficult situation, I would say. Being a new player, coming to a new club and being injured, so sort of letting your teammates down and not be able to help your teammate, and being new and not be able, obviously, to have an impact and change things, that was quite hard, I think.
Can you describe then what happened in the group when you changed coach and Uwe Oslo came in? Because it was such a sudden change.
Yeah, obviously.
And it was very different style of leadership as well, I think.
Mm, yeah, exactly. Obviously, like I said, like, we could have felt like when we come back from the break, obviously we needed a break to recharge a little bit the batteries, clear our mind, and come back like with fire, personally as the players, you know, because I think it started all there. And then the new coach came in and also bring his part, obviously a new type of leadership, his energy into the group, what was missing, I think. At the same time, players been there for pretty much 6 months now, so for the new player, so was like ready, obviously, adapt now, I think, because obviously we don't think about that kind of thing, but some players were living at the hotel for 3-4 months at the start.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's not ideal. It's not ideal, obviously.
It's hard to build the group as well.
Yeah, exactly. So personally, on your own life, and obviously to group, to know your teammate. So all these combined, obviously, at the break, all these together. So the new coach coming in, new leadership, knowing your teammate a little bit better. No, obviously now you need to back against the wall. Obviously you need to turn it around, and then you manage to create a momentum, and then like keep that momentum going.
And I have a feeling that, of course, the autumn was more the Malmö that you were assumed to go to. I mean,
yeah, of course, yeah.
It must have been so much more fun.
Yeah, yeah, and I think that's the Malmö, and that's the only Malmo, I would say. You know, yeah. Obviously, Malmo is winning, obviously. So that's what every player wants. That's what, obviously, yeah, personally, I wanted. That obviously, I get back to playing as well. That's what mostly most important for me, personally. Need to be on the pitch and play, because it is frustrating when you're injured and, like, try to come back and kind of come back too early, get injured again. So it was like I was kind of in and out. But yeah, that was like the real Malmo, like you said, probably in autumn. And yeah.
And I'm also thinking that I think you had an incredible autumn with a fantastic peak against Besiktas. Was that your best period so far in your career?
Yeah, probably up there. Yeah, I felt great there. Obviously, it's probably as well because I came back also from injury and I was like really fired up, hungry to play. But physically, I felt great. I had no problem anymore, and the team was doing well also. Obviously, when your teammates are playing well, that can only help you to be at your best also. But yeah, we'll probably be one of my best period of my career, yeah, I'd say.
You played 90 minutes in every game in the Europa League. You played 90 minutes in all the games except one, I think, in the Champions League qualifying. You've played 90 minutes in every game in Allsvenskan this far this year. Is that? I'm guessing that suits you. I mean, you don't really need to
rest.
To rest, really. Or no. Do you rest? Do you rest plenty between games?
Well, you rest basically every day apart from game day, basically, okay. Or like every afternoon, I would say, after training. But no, is that what you want as a football player? Me, my goal every time is to play as many games as possible. That is because that's what I enjoy doing. Playing football.
Do you never feel like when you're two or three goals up and there's 5 minutes left and you see the sign come up and you go, ah, it's never me going up.
No, like obviously, I don't know for others, but I don't want that. You know, obviously, I liked, and that show obviously the club or the coach or my teammates show me plenty of confidence. Obviously, need me, and that's why. Obviously, I like that. What I play football for, to obviously to enjoy first my football, and obviously to win games and to be needed. Obviously, to help my teammate in each way I can, and for me is to be on the pitch for 95 minutes. You know, that's the best way for me to help my teammates. Obviously, I need to be good also, not just walking for 95 minutes. But no, I like playing games. You know. That's why I like to do is play games. Yeah.
I was pretty sure when after this fantastic autumn that Malmö should lose you.
Would
lose you. Sorry, you're better English. No, but that bigger clubs would reach out for you and can you tell anything how close it was this winter and what really made you stay and. Extend the contract?
How close was? There were like, obviously, there were contacts, there were interest. That's what I can tell for sure. Obviously, there were like interest by obviously MLS team, a little bit in the championship, a little bit back home, obviously in France.
Were there contracts?
Sorry?
Were there contracts?
No, I won't say there were contracts. Obviously, not to me. But there were like some serious interest. Obviously, there were obviously big contacts. Obviously, came to my head also. Again, I had to speak with the club and speak with my family as well, what was best again for me. And I had like no reason to, I've been here for a year, you know, I had no reason to leave. The club been great to me. We were still in, obviously, Europa League with a big gap coming up. So, obviously, it's really nice. It's appreciated to have that big interest, you know, from obviously the league and clubs. That means you're doing something good. That means the club doing something good as well. But I felt like my job here wasn't done. Obviously, the confidence the club, the fan, everyone gave me, I haven't give it back to the club yet. So that's why I decided to keep the adventure going. And obviously the club had a say as well to it, because obviously I was under contract. And they share with me obviously their view, and I totally respect it.
How nervous should the supporters be during the transfer period this summer?
Well, I don't think whatever I said will matter, really, because every year, like, and it's not just in Malmo, but obviously there are rumors, there are like, and that's things I cannot control, you know, their interest as well, and then things you cannot control. I just look forward to the games are coming up, every game, do my best here at the club. I have a contract again, and I extend. So I'm like, I'm here, and I'm like ready to play every game and to, until my time come, obviously, either from through the club or through my decision. But so far, it's not in the picture. Just now, it's, we have a goal together, and we need to achieve our goal together. And
you want the Swedish championship?
I definitely want a Swedish championship, yeah. That's why I came here. That's why I came to this football club. Yeah.
If you were to leave in the future, and if you got to decide, where would you like to play? I mean, would you like to go back to France, or is it still
Italy?
Still have Italy, Italian dreams?
Obviously, be younger, I always love Italy, like I said, like Osiria. Now, obviously, being older, like the dream would say, my ambition is to play as high as I can be, you know. And obviously, we know the top five leagues in the world. Obviously, England, Italy, Spain, France, Germany. Those leagues are really, really attractive. That leagues, obviously, you play against the best player in the world, and that's what you want. That's what I want as well. Obviously, try to play against the best player in the world weekly. So I don't have any preference really anymore. Play and enjoy.
I think you are a young person, and a young person on the field as well. But you are still 29 this year. Mm-hmm. Does the age stress you in any way, because you had to, yeah, you put some years in Scotland to start your career?
Yeah, we could see it that way. I'm I had my peak at a late stage, I would say. Some have it really early. For me, I've been always in football now for a few years. For me, the most important, I always say, is to have your peak when you're 26, 27, 25, 26, and onwards. So yeah, their progression. Because obviously, I know a lot of players who had their peak, their best time at 18, and then after that, when it become to 23, 24, don't have a... And I think for me, a career should be that way. Obviously, progressing young. And then be a, of course, if you can have your peak earlier and keep it, maintain it, that is really good. But you need to make sure on your 25, 26 and onwards, you're at your peak. And I feel like I'm at my peak, obviously, now. So I'm confident, obviously. I still got a lot to offer. Also, football progressed a lot now. For years, probably 10 15 years ago, you probably retire around 31, 32. Now, we'll keep pushing the limit a bit further. We have the example on our club, obviously, with captain. So, I'm pretty sure I've got many years in front of me.
Frederick, I think we have to put to speak a little bit about the national team as well.
I think we should, yeah.
The Comores, it's an adventure to go there and play, I understand. It's very big. Tell us a little bit when you come home.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful adventure. It's one of the proudest thing I am in football, obviously. It's something special. I started with the national team in 2014. We had a small game, a friendly game against Burkina Faso, down south of France, close to Marseille. And obviously, as I was in France, I was not home, and there were something like 500 fans, because we have a big community
in France.
And already there, you could feel there were a big passion about it. And then I get to go back, obviously, to Cameron Island for the first game. And at the airport when we arrived, was a good 4,000 people there, screaming. And the bus take us, obviously, was a 45-minute drive from the airport to the hotel. It took us a good 2 hours because of, the fans just celebrating in front of the bus just all the way along. So that was beautiful. That is football means so much for them, because obviously it's a poor country, we don't have much. So when we get to go there, when football arrives, they just forget about everything. Some of them forget they don't even have food on the plate to eat. They have them big eyes and just do anything to come and watch our game. We had at the time, obviously, because now we just changed a really small stadium. We can probably have 1,000, probably 3,000 or 4,000 people. Somehow you end up with 7,000, 9,000, I would say, people on trees, people on the top of building on the houses, 3 people on one seat. It's beautiful. Road are short, stadium is full. Game is at 3 o'clock in the morning, an afternoon. 10 o'clock, the stadium is full, waiting for us. So that is that is just beautiful. That's why I play football, and that's why I'm so proud of playing for my national team.
And you are not so far from reaching the African Nations Cup.
Yeah, we were in a really, really tough group this year.
It was a strange group because the host was in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Normally they qualify directly.
Yeah, but they changed the rule recently. Obviously,
it was Cameroon.
Cameroon. They changed the rule last year. And obviously, so Cameroon is the last winner of the African Cup Nation. So it's obviously toughest competition you could have get. Morocco is an excellent team who's just been to the World Cup. And obviously us and then Malawi. So that was two big teams we had. So it was tough. We managed to get some good results. We play. We are really unlucky against Cameroon the first game at home. We were winning until the 88th minute. Away to Morocco, we had a draw until the 96th minute. So then result was really unlucky. Then home to Morocco, should have won this one. We were leading, we give 2 goals away. We end up drawing 2-2. So against big teams, we had some really good results. Everything was to decide on the last game. Away to Cameroon was quite tough. They were better on the day, definitely better than us. So they deserved to go, but it was a really great experience.
The national team, is it mostly exiled players, so to speak?
Yeah, so mostly all the players are like me, mostly born in France, with parents from Comoros Island. who obviously choose to play for a national team. So we play mostly of us in Europe, a little bit everywhere in Europe. And obviously we've got few who complete the squad from Comoros, obviously.
I believe your mother must be really, and your family must be really proud of your career. And you must be proud of her for the fights.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
She took for you.
Yeah, that's obviously I try to...
They've been here, right?
They've been here. They came last year against... We played Dalkurd at home, but I was injured on that game, so they were understand. But obviously they were really, really proud, obviously, for me to be at this stage, you know, when they came and they've seen the stadium full, everything. So that was like a really proud moment for her. And obviously with the national team, yeah, that's something she's really proud of. I try obviously to repay all she done obviously for my family, for all my brother and sister. Obviously, it won't never be enough, but step by step, I try to reach to be as to do as well as she did.
Has your family had any opportunities to watch the national team as well?
Yeah, she did. My mom, she liked to. When we play at home, she was in Comoros, obviously, and my mom like the noise. She like to. She's a fan, basically. So I try to put her on a kind of VIP area, etc. She was not having it. She was.
She wanted to be in the crowd.
She wanted to be in the crowd, jumping around with everyone. So I've seen her at the end of the game, and she was so tired that she could hardly walk. And I was like, "What are you doing, mom?" Really, like. But now, yeah, she really liked it. So when she got a chance, obviously she come and watch us in Comoros. Yeah.
How is life in Malmo? You're settled. You don't live in a hotel anymore, and. How is life here? And what do you do when you don't play?
It's been good.
It's resting. He just tells us.
Yeah, I need to rest. No, it's been great. The city is a nice city. It's really people are really friendly, really nice. The weather was great last summer
as well.
That's
not normal, we can tell you.
People told me that, but to be fair, the weather has been really great last summer. So, and then what I do, obviously, spend time with friends. I like to move a bit with, obviously, with my fiancé. I like to go to Copenhagen. I like to do some shopping. But also, mostly as well, rest at home and enjoy.
I was curious, because since you came to Sweden, you basically have received nothing but praise for your play. Do you feel that there are any areas that you need to work on? What would you like to do better?
Well, there are plenty, I would say. Because there's always an area in progress. I think the where everyone wants me to progress the most, I think, is probably about the goal scoring record. I hear that quite a lot. but that's definitely something, I need to be better.
But how do you do that? How do you get better at scoring goals?
I would say by practicing on being into them area. I think, for example, for me, I'm probably not as many time in the box, but probably around the box I could get there, and then getting shot from there. So probably in training, repeat the same situation, so getting the ball outside the box quite quick and obviously having a shot, try to find the target. And that is definitely somewhere I need to improve, because obviously I think I still had few situations and I should have done better. I had a crazy one against Sundsvall where I should finished and I missed on the box. So you just need to repeat. That's how you progress, to repeat repeat and repeat, obviously, them action.
I think you've taken more shots now.
I've tried to. Obviously, I get as well a little bit more opportunity to be on that position as well. Because obviously now, like we said earlier on, AC can come down and get on the ball, so I can be higher. Arnold did it yesterday as well, like come down a little bit deeper, so then I end up being a little bit higher. So then I got the opportunity, obviously, against Haken. And also for me, is a way of mixing it up, because obviously, if some players start to mark, man-mark me, maybe I can obviously try to be higher up to get free of the marking and try to be at the end of action instead of being at the start. So yeah, but I try to take a little bit more shots as well, because obviously I hear the fans screaming, shoot, shoot, shoot. Yeah. So I try.
That's great. But I think, shouldn't we talk a little bit about the upcoming game as well?
Yes, of course.
If you don't have any...
No, I don't really. Yeah. So,
Norrköping. I saw the practice game in Norrköping.
Mm-hmm. I think I saw it.
Did you see it?
I think I saw it too.
How do you see on the upcoming game? We see another Malmö than we saw in that game.
And,
and is that pitch especially hard to play on? This
I played in Kunstgras.
Yeah. I mean, it can be different
for
types.
Many years. Yeah, but I won't complain about pitches. That is not my style. I don't really focus on external factor. Really, I don't. Of course, some are not ideal, but there's nothing you can do about it, really. So I don't want to really speak about that. But what happened not shopping in the first game? Again, like, I'm pretty sure we have the lead.
Yeah.
We start well. Then we went through a period of, where it was 10 minutes of craziness before halftime. And they scored their chances. But again, I didn't felt like it was that bad. I know, maybe I'm a bit naive, but when I look at the context of the game, I didn't feel like it was that bad. I think we were like, we went to the game, we controlled the game quite well, but we give really cheap goal away.
Yeah.
We think if we take off the cheap goal away, I'm pretty sure for at least a good 70 minutes, it didn't create that many chances. Then, of course, after when the score get a bit bigger and you're trying to chase for the game and obviously mentally you're a little bit down, then like obviously you open up and then you concede chances. But the score was really flattering for them on the day, you know, where I don't feel, and I'm pretty sure to them they were that good at a 4-1 game, obviously. But again, it was a practice game as well. Now in the league, it will be a totally different game. But don't take away, Norrköping are a good team who play some good football, who have some good young players, obviously some really good Swedish young talent, basically. So it will be a good game. You know, they didn't finish second by coincidence last year. So we still have to respect them. But we're pretty much confident if we play our game and we play at our best, we will come back home with the 3 points.
Before we let it go, I wanted to ask you, what do you see yourself and the team at the end of the season?
What do I see?
Yourself and the team at the end of the season.
Where
the
do
season?
We see yourself?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, title, huh?
Okay.
Yeah. I have to be obvious. I have to be. So no, that's what we're aiming for. That's what you can hide this when you play for Malmö FF. You that's where you have to reach for. Then of course it's a long season. It's a lot of things happen in a season, but that's what we're reaching for. That's what we're aiming for. But for this, we just need to take game by game.
Will we see the team in the Europa League?
Also, yes, that's where we have to be. That's why, you know, we play that competition. We're getting better and better, I think, on that competition, in Europe competition. Yes, for the last, Malmö has been, I think, from the last, probably 7 years, played a lot of Europe. That is a good thing for Swedish football as well, I think. Last year, getting to that stage of Europe, of Europa League, that show again another progression. Playing also against Chelsea and matching them up for some part of the game, that show a lot of progression as well. So now we have to take on from this to the next campaign of Europa League, obviously, and try to reach there again. But obviously, it's every year different. It's a tough competition because of so many great teams in Europe, obviously. Everyone's trying to qualify. But Östersund and Malmö, that's where we should be. We should be fight, obviously, winning the title at home and try to go as far as possible in Europe.
I think that's a good place to end.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for taking the time to visit us. Det här har varit avsnitt nummer 179 av MFF-podden där vi anser att konstgräs ska förbjudas i svensk elitfotboll. Jag heter Fredrik Hedenskog, jag har sällskap av Max Wiman och Fouad Bachirou och ansvarig utgivare är Pia Renqvist.
Hej,
tack
hej.
För oss, hej hej!
Bye, bye.
Hej min fina mamma. Kan inte du snälla swisha mig för fika? Älskar dig, puss puss.
För att repetera det.
Hej min fina mamma.
Spara samtalet när du förlorat den som ringde på telenor.se/missedcalls.
Välkommen till Momang, ett nytt smidigare kasino från Svenska Spel, Sport och Casino där du enkelt kan spela hur lite du vill. Idag har vi en stjärna från spelet Starburst här som ska berätta hur smidigt det är. Jaha, så smidigt alltså. Momang, för dig över 18 år. Stödlinjen.se.